Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're talking college football now as we got the championship game coming your way. Josh Pate coming your way right now from CBS Sports, talking college football. Probably our last time of the year, I would imagine, as we head to the championship game. Unless we want to wrap up the season next week, but that's up to Josh. Josh, welcome in. Let's talk a little bit about last week's games. Let's talk about the sweep, first of all. Sark is catching it, and rightfully so. Could you believe that play call?
Well, first off, I was upset by it, okay? The play call itself. I never really get into the questioning of individual calls because, like, I have, I don't know. I mean, hold on a second. I got to go in another room because my washing machine's going crazy. So I never question the play call itself. The philosophy behind it is the problem I have. Like, I saw all the people breaking it down. I saw Orlovsky breaking it down, and here's why this call made sense. Look, all that notwithstanding, yeah, Caleb Downs made a great play. That's the whole point behind not having that philosophy. Yeah, because Ohio State's got those dudes that can make those kind of plays. Mm-hmm. To me, when I listen to Sark, I listen to Texas, I listen to anyone there talk about their recruiting philosophy. They always talk about big humans, accumulate as many big humans as possible. So my thinking is they've done that. They brag about it. They should. They're proud of it. They should be. You get first and goal at the one with an opportunity to maybe go to a national championship. Lean with your big humans. So when I made that argument, the response I got from a few people was, well, Josh, Penn State tried that and failed. Oregon tried that and failed. You're Texas. So? Mm-hmm. You think you're better than them. You should trust your personnel. And if you can't get 1 yard, 4 tries with guys who average 330 across the board, you're not good enough to beat them.
That's right.
But I'm absolutely going to find out. I'm going to make you stop me 4 times to find that out.
And not only that, Josh, you're going to stick Arch in there. You're going to put Baron Sorrell right behind, and you're going to just push him in. Or, you know, they tried to run that lead play. They put two defensive linemen in. Sorrell acted as a fullback. They ran a lead play. It didn't work. Okay. Like you said, 3 more to go. You know, you want the straight line approach. Why not just get behind the center? We've seen this work for everybody. Literally, just if you want, just sneak it off right guard. Mm. Put Arch in at 230 pounds. It would have been a touchdown. Like, this finesse stuff where you try to outsmart everybody just drives me insane. A pitch to the short side with where you're outnumbered and you've got everyone playing on their front foot because there's, you know, that's the kind of play where misdirection works great if you've got it in your bag. But, you know, and when you have a needed play. But you don't get goofy there. You just go hit him in the mouth. And if it doesn't work, then tip your hat and get better guards next year.
Yeah, I would also guess if you pulled the Ohio State defensive brain trust, what would you rather Texas try here? I guarantee you that rather you'd the opponent try what Texas ended up trying. This is stuff you don't even know much about football to know. That's ironically, the closer you get to the goal line, it just becomes a matter of physics more than design and scheme, or it should.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This 9.5-point spread, I think Notre Dame plays them too. I think this is coming down to the last minutes, Josh.
You could be right, but there could also be a world where, like, for instance, I am a believer that Notre Dame needs a plan here where 20 points will win them this game, which is tough to do, but it's not impossible. They held Ohio State to 17 last year when they played. Texas had Ohio State, at 21 offensive points, I think. So it's not impossible. Notre Dame plays a higher rate of man coverage than anybody that was in the playoffs. So they will try and do some things against Ohio State no one else has even tried to do. They can disrupt timing and rhythm. They can get to the quarterback. They can force mistakes. They've done it all year. They can score on special teams. They are excellent middle eight team, just phenomenal. They've outscored opponents 27-0 in those middle eight portions of games the past two games. So there are a lot of ways where Notre Dame can find a way to win this thing. Here's the problem. If all that happens, let's say they hold Ohio State to 17. It doesn't matter if you score six. Because there's this world where Notre Dame holds them to 17 and they win 20-17, and that's wonderful, go Irish. There's another world where they hold them to 17, but it's because the game script has dictated Ohio State is totally shutting them down. Ohio State's defensive front has taken over the game, which they've done all playoff, by the way, and Ohio State realizes the only way Notre Dame can score here is defensively. The only way Notre Dame can score is if we give them scores, so let's just totally shut it down. There could be a world where this game's like 2 hours, 45 minutes long. It's like a Greg Maddux game in the late 90s. You're in and out in a very short period of time, kind of like the Notre Dame-Penn State game was. So, yeah, I get it. And I don't think Ohio State will just run it up on them. But, man, you've still got to sell me on Notre Dame scoring enough, and that's really where I run into problems.
Yeah. Well, Love has got to – he's got to have a game. And listen, Greathouse had a breakout game. Of course, I don't know that Ohio State guys are going to fall down like that for him.
Well, you have to turn this into a fistfight. Like, Michigan turned it into a fistfight. They always do. And Ohio State gets caught up in it, and they don't play well
against
fistfights.
Notre Dame can play like Michigan.
Notre Dame can play like that. I think the question, though, is – you got three offensive linemen. Like, you're really beat up along the offensive line. Although, I don't like to say three missing, because the fact is you've had two starters out from the beginning, basically early in the season. And not only did you get back into it, but you were like...
they've been dominant.
We had arguments about whether or not Notre Dame gets in as a finalist for the Joe Moore Award. So, I mean, they got way, way better as the season rolled on. But I do think that that's kind of their... Josh, that's our calling card on offense and defense. Is Marcus Freeman likes a physical team. Is there any way you can draw Ohio State into that type of game? Like, I don't know if Ohio State can get drawn into that.
Well, maybe they do get drawn into it by choice. You know, the other part of this is Ohio State can score a lot, and I mean, they got some racehorse receivers, but I think the story of this postseason is they've rediscovered themselves physically a little bit. Like, more and more as we get away from that Michigan game, as much as I hate to say something like this, because I think those losses should mean a whole lot in terms of ending your season, the further and further we get away from that Michigan loss, the more valuable it looks to what Ohio State ended up becoming right after the loss. So, I mean, whatever your philosophy is on college football postseason structure determines whether you agree with me on whether that's good or bad. But, I mean, they're not playing finesse football here. Just because they're scoring a lot of points doesn't mean they're playing finesse football. So I think there's a world where Notre Dame punches them, and they just smile and punch right back. But the difference is they've still got the multidimensional aspect to themselves that Notre Dame doesn't have. Now, having said that, that doesn't change the fact that Notre Dame should try that, because there is no other way for Notre Dame to try. I mean, they've got a fastball here, and they've got to use the fastball. And if it gets hit, it gets hit. But they have nothing else. It's crazy how beat to death they are and still in this spot. And you're right about that offensive line point. That is such a testament to culture. When you keep losing guys, and yet basically just the Notre Dame offensive line is what you're trotting out there. And it really doesn't matter who's wearing the jerseys on that particular day.
Yeah.
You've got such a culture. Like, it is such a unit-based approach that everyone's playing to the standard. That stuff right there, by the way, that is a dying concept in the portal era. That is a dying concept. So enjoy that. from the few programs who can still give that to
you. Well, but Notre Dame is almost the outlier program. They're not in a conference. You're not a Notre Dame fan unless you grew up a Notre Dame fan, basically, or you've got a friend or family member who goes there. Like, Notre Dame is one of the great outlier programs in football, Josh, isn't it? Or maybe even college sports.
A lot of Catholic people like Notre Dame.
Well, yeah, but you grew up with it. You don't become a Notre Dame fan suddenly over the last, like, you know what? Over the last 5 years, I've really become a Notre Dame fan. But, and that Catholic thing is also regional, too. It's not like you do have some, but that doesn't happen as much where you're a Catholic fan. Why aren't you a Boston College fan then? That's a big
College.
Catholic school.
They're inconsequential. That's why.
Want Bill O'Brien to fight you?
Listen, well, they're even more so. Josh is good. Josh, you got a lot of baseball reference. You're ready for spring training today with Greg Maddux and bringing their fastball. You're ready. You're ready for some spring
painting
training.
The outside corner.
This is it. What do you do after this now, Josh? I mean,
are you SEC basketball? You're just football, though, right?
That's it.
Well, it's just college football. Now, I mean, I do understand that pitchers and catchers report in less than a month.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I understand that. But it is college football all year for me. You guys know
that.
Yeah.
We got some storm chasing as well in the spring, so we mix it. We got a healthy mixture of touchdowns and tornadoes in the spring.
Yeah. So I got a question for you.
Touchdowns and tornadoes.
So,
sounds like some kind of breakfast that an elementary school puts together for dads.
So these two teams, Josh, how are they going to do the portal when now school has started and anyone who transfers and wants to play in the spring has to be at the school already, enrolled at the school? And in these two teams, they can't have anybody get out of the portal and go to a new school for this spring. How are they going to work this out in the future?
I have no idea. I saw that new proposal, and the spirit of it I like, where you just shrink this entire portal thing down to a 10-day window per year. I have no idea if it's going to be approved. I have no idea if it can stand up to legal scrutiny. And that's my forever answer on this stuff. I have no idea. But even if it does pass, that's the first thing I thought. The first thing I thought is, unless this coincides with a calendar change where we move the national title game up, like, how does this make sense for a couple of teams? I don't know. I'm trying to think it through. Because my first thought was, maybe the thinking here is this is the best we can do, and if the grand scheme of things, the teams that get punished are the teams in the national title game. Well, that's like our version of the teams in the Super Bowl draft last in the first round. But that's really not who you're punishing.
No, you're punishing the kids.
You're punishing the kids on the roster of the teams that are in the national title game. So I don't really know how you justify it. I imagine that's not like a mystery to anyone. I think everyone who's kind of grappling with this understood there is no perfect way. I guess this is just the collateral damage of their best way they came up with.
Mm. Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So are you taking or giving the 8.5? It's down to 8.5 now.
Yeah, I'm giving them.
You're giving
I think the kind of game that I see in my head is like 23-10, something like that. That kind of score.
Ooh, that sounds
and
about right.
That is, but that is, as I've said with Notre Dame forever this year, that is me assuming there are no defensive scores, there are no special team scores, and they keep doing that, but I keep thinking that is a randomized occurrence. That is not predictive, although that team keeps happening to do it. That's not something predictive. So I never go into a game saying, yeah, I think they'll get a scoop and score, I think they'll get a pick six, and I think that'll factor in. Because if they do that, man, there's a path to 24 points here for Notre Dame. I just don't know in a standardized game, needing to push the ball down the field, needing to drive 60 yards to get in scoring position. I don't know that they've got that in them multiple times. So I think it's a lower scoring game. I just still picked Ohio State to win and find a way to cover.
Yeah, don't worry. The Notre Dame game was an underplay. It just went absolutely bonkers in the fourth quarter. That was a low scoring game, Penn State and Notre Dame until it wasn't in the fourth quarter. But the way that the game was played was a slower paced game. I think the defense of Ohio State, I'm kind of with you on that one and the way it will go, is just eventually, like you said, it has to be a non-standard game where you have to have turnovers, a punt return, a kick return. You know, I don't know that enough has been made about the fact that Ohio State needed a fluky play at the end of the half and a fluky play at the end of the game to make it look like a game that it wasn't. That was actually a game where they scored 14 points with standard offense.
And how did they take Jeremiah Smith out of the game?
Yeah,
I mean, he was...
Well, it was a conscious decision. They probably doubled him. I mean, they probably made some decisions. Whatever they did, you probably want to follow
that. Notre Dame, if I'm Notre Dame, I'm looking at that, right?
You've got to. You've got to look at that. And you've got to think to yourself, because Lance is right there. Like, if you go back and you simulate the way that Texas-Ohio State game could have gone, like, let's start with 30 seconds to go in the first half. It's sitting there, what was it, dead even, I guess. If you start saying, okay, if we went back to that moment again and pressed play and just let it play out, there's several versions of that game where Texas ends up winning. But the version that played out was one where it looks like you doubled Texas up, 28-14. Now, we watched it. We know how it played out. Every bit of that counts. But you start at zero against Notre Dame. So if we take the principle, if we take, you know, the observational aspects of that game and we apply it to this one, that's why I keep saying I think Ohio State wins. I'd lean them to cover, but I'm leaning them to cover thinking they're scoring around 20 or 23 points or something like that, which means I expect roughly the same kind of offensive output as they had against Texas, maybe less. So it's basically Notre Dame putting themselves in a similar situation where instead of the breaks going against them, they have to go for them. That's a coin flip thing, maybe a 60-40 thing against you, but you've been the best in the country at forcing the issue there. I also think if you can just affect passes, you over four quarters, you can get yourself a tilt. Of course, that could just mean sacking the quarterback. That could mean forcing fumbles there. But it also could just mean hurrying them up a little bit. It could mean getting a hand up as a defensive lineman. It could mean linebackers just getting hands and fingers in passing lanes, and you just keep getting close to the ball. And you just count on Will Howard doing what he did against Texas, throwing a pick. And then you got to take advantage of it. That kind of stuff's going to be the difference in the game. Or I'll say this, it'll be the difference in whether we're bored in the fourth quarter versus whether we're on the edge of our seat in the fourth quarter.
Well, anytime Notre Dame's in a playoff, we get at some point we're bored by it because they get their ass kicked. But I don't think this one. Listen, if it's not two ridiculous plays, the screen pass at the end of the first half and the strip sack fumble touchdown, it's an even game. It's an even game. Mm-hmm. I mean, two ridiculous plays in the final minute of each half.
That's a lot of pro talent on that Texas side of the ball, though.
Yeah.
There's some dudes over there that I'm not sure Notre Dame can bring that same level of talent to match the athleticism.
Well, not outside wide, probably, but Love is as good a back as
well.
There
I'm just talking about defensively to match up with Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too.
On the defensive side, like, you've got pros along the defensive front again after having Murphy and Sweat. Because now I've watched a lot of these guys for draft stuff, and I'm like, man, Broughton can get after the quarterback. Collins is going to be a top 40 pick. You got Baron Sorrell just makes positive plays all the time. Mm-hmm. You got a good secondary. Like, you have great rush off the edge from a freshman. Like, that's a lot of talent that slowed Ohio State's defense down. I don't know if Nebraska athletically, I do think mentality is great, but at some point the Jimmys and Joes got to match up at least a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Notre Dame was able to slow that vaunted Penn State offense down, so.
Until the fourth one, they couldn't get a stop at all. Drew Aller stopped them. How about Drew Aller was an actual – there was actually discussions, Josh, about Drew Aller coming out. And I think he would – with a good run in a postseason, he would have made a run at the top spot, quarterback spot. He would have been either one or two, QB1 or QB2 in the draft. Instead, everyone's like, oh, my God. Drew Aller is terrible. Look how quick it can change. One quarter and it's a wrap.
That was gutting to watch that. I was standing right behind, like just off tackle on the right side, about 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So I had a really good look at him when he threw the ball, and then I just kept my eyes on him when it got picked off. And, man, you could just feel the life come out of him. Yeah. And if I was a Penn State fan, I'd feel the same way. You were right. Like, I agree with you. If he got hot and they went on a run, that would have totally changed the conversation. And in reality, the conversation ended up like crashing back down to the spot it had been previously before the hype started to build. But Aller's always going to have benefit of doubt. Like he's the opposite of some of these sawed-off quarterbacks who, you know, you have to sell and sell and sell, even though their numbers look great. Aller's been a mixed bag his whole career, but he looks like the prototype. And he had the five stars coming out of high school. So he is going to continue to have a lot of seats at the table of people who just refuse to give up on him. I'm not saying I've given up on him, but there's something there that to this point has not clicked from a Sunday perspective. That, I mean, hopefully that happens next year.
There's a lot of quarterbacks where it's not clicked. There's a frightening lack of pro quarterbacks now coming out of the pipeline, in my opinion.
Okay, finally, are you a proponent of now everybody's paying, not just the SEC paying the best? A lot of teams were paying players before, but now it's evening up, and that's why the SEC isn't as dominant as it has been?
How about I present a counter-argument? What you just said, there is reality to, but people are overthinking the room so much on this. It was never the SEC as a brand was making a run. It was Nick Saban at Alabama is rewriting the record books, and a few other SEC teams in any given time are doing it. Like LSU 2019 is a super team. Georgia under Kirby had a couple of teams. Auburn in 2010 had a team. Meyer early on in Saban's run, this is a decade and a half ago. But there was no other sustained, like, superpower, untouchable team. It was Bama under Saban. Well, guys, I don't know if you saw the news. He retired last January. So I would say if nothing else changed in college football, but he retired, there would have been a moment where the SEC had to collect its feet or get its feet back under itself, because Georgia this year was coming in as a team I predicted to lose two games. I was not surprised that they were a little wobbly. Bama just replaced the greatest coach of all time. It's understandable they could be wobbly. LSU wasn't ready to go this year. Florida's way down this year. Oklahoma's down this year. Texas was a breath away from playing for a national title in the first year in the conference. I just don't think there's this alarm bell that's ringing to me for the SEC. And I also think there are these existential statements being made that would have changed, like if Texas doesn't get picked and they convert down there in the goal line, maybe they beat Ohio State. If Tennessee got the draw in the bracket that Penn State got, then Tennessee wouldn't have been obliterated in first round. They would have beat SMU. They would have beat Boise, and Tennessee would have been in the semis. And my point is, nothing would have changed about the conference. It's just circumstances would have changed, and everyone's tune would sound different. So I'm not much different than I have been the last 5 or 6 years. Like, there are changes, and I do think that it's serving to balance things out a little bit. But if you don't think the SEC is still going to be right there any given year, you're crazy.
Yeah, there's so much talent on there. There absolutely is.
Yeah,
and they're still going to go.
But the tricky thing is the portal is, like, Georgia now is looking at their wide receiver. They had a philosophy for their wide receiver, for what they would do wide receiver-wise with portal, and it's changed completely after this year. Like, this is still a very fluid situation in all of college football, including in the SEC, where teams are still trying to figure out, okay, how do we maneuver around this? Because you are going to lose some players every year.
Right. Well, Nick Saban was there last year, and the SEC wasn't in the championship game. And the SEC isn't in the championship game for 2 years in a row, which hasn't happened in how long? 2 years in a row that the SEC is not in the championship. So we'll see. That's Josh Pate. And, man, it's been a great year. If you want to come back next week, absolutely. If not, we understand. We had a great year, and we really appreciate you being here, Josh, and hope we do it again next year.
I think we can do something next week.
Right,
I think I'll be back in town.
Okay, let's do it.
They say Josh had a great show yesterday. The Internet's saying Josh had a great show on his YouTube
the Internet
show. That's what they said.
Don't go viral.
Don't go viral,
Josh, because you know what happens then. People pull up old tweets of yours.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
Josh doesn't try to go viral.
He's not trying to
go
viral.
He does a show.
No, we saw what happened with that Eagle fan. What happens?
Yeah, it really has nothing to do with Josh's show.
Oh, that's right. That's true. That's Josh Pate, CBS, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks, Josh.
All right, see you guys.
That's Josh Pate every week right here. Good stuff. Good stuff. And you know what else is good stuff? Taqueria Sarandis.
Oh, man, it's really good stuff. I need to, I gave you some of their tamales.
I know. They were awesome.
They are good. They're great. I'm not really. I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about Taqueria Arandas, the Arandas Bakery, but I'm going to. Their tamales are fantastic. I didn't used to be a tamale guy because I don't like a bunch of masa. I don't like, you know, where people skimp on the meat and the chicken and the pork, and they just give you a bunch of that corn masa, just like a gut buster. And I had the Taqueria Arandas tamales, blown away. They're phenomenal. The conchas, all the sweetbreads are really, really good over at the bakery. They do an amazing job there. But I do want to focus in on Taqueria Arandas just for a second because we're still in breakfast time right now. You can go get yourself a big, hearty breakfast at Taqueria Arandas right now. Chilaquiles with beef. You can go get the huevos divorciados. You can get with the red sauce and the green sauce. You can just go get breakfast tacos. There's a wide variety of breakfast tacos. Have them there in the location or get them to go and bring them into the fellas at the business and the ladies and, you know, whoever's in the there in the office. But I can tell you that for lunch, for breakfast, for dinner, they're always open. It's always a good time. The food is authentic. And now at the bars inside of most of the Taqueria Arandas, they've turned it into Arandas Sports Bar where they want you to go watch your favorite games on the weekdays or the weekends over at Arandas Sports Bar. Get your drinks, get your bar food, and have a great time with your friends at Arandas Sports Bar. Taqueria Arandas, Arandas Bakery, Arandas Sports Bar. They're taking over the city, and I'm happy about it. Taqueria Arandas.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We got one segment left before News of the Weird, so you got time to get in here. Anything that Josh Pate might have said or that you want to talk about. What do we have today? We got the Cougs playing today. You know, I was this many years old when I found out that Emmanuel Sharpe, a Coug, is leading the nation.
A Kelvin Sampson Coug.
A Kelvin Sampson Coug is leading the nation in three-point percentage at 48.8%. He's hitting nearly one of every two. He went four straight games.
You got ball set.
Where he was. No, it's in the Chronicle. It's Joseph Duarte.
They got tricked. Joseph got tricked. There's just no way.
Yes, this happened. This happened in real life.
He shoots 52% at home.
It's incredible. From three.
Not only is he 48.8, he's 52% at home with a free throw. You know what his free throw percentage is? This year, 92%. Emmanuel. We're basically watching. Well, obviously, we're not watching him enough if we don't know this three-point percentage. We basically have a little bulkier Steph Curry on our team.
He is
48 from three. He's got a weird shot too. 49 from three.
He's got a weird shot too.
92.3 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He is incredible right now.
You know what his turnovers are per game?
This is exactly what this team needs.
How high do you think his turnovers are per game?
His turnovers per game? 0.1.
0.7. That's good. I take it.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, his assists are 1.3, but.
Well, he's not it's the two point
to one.
Guard.
No, it's 2-1.
No, LJ's got the ball.
He's not giving it. So what you're telling me is he's making a lot of threes. His true shooting percentage is extremely high. He makes free throw. If you foul him at the end of the game, basically you're cooked. And he's not turning. And he has less than a turnover a game in it's 26 incredible. Minutes a game.
His true shooting percentage has got to be 70-something, no? At 48.8.
Yeah, I mean, it's really high.
I mean, it's got to be incredible. I don't know how he is on two-pointers, but it's incredible. 48.8%. Cougs play tonight, okay, against West Virginia at Fertitta Center. Get on out there and support that team while I head to the Cabo Cup, okay? I'm not going to be able to get there, but the Cabo Cup is going on this week. It's the biggest week of the year in sports. So this is what's happening.
Golf is in serious trouble right now. You got the
Tiger, TGL.
You got TGL, which is basically like some slapstick game or so, I assume. I've never seen it. You got Cabo Cup is the most important thing in golf. Yeah. And then you've got golfers playing in shorts 3 days a week.
Well, those
people. In Saudi Arabia. They actually don't play in Saudi Arabia, but in my mind, I like
TGL
to imagine
like
that
the Pro Bowl game?
Takes
no,
place in Saudi Arabia.
It's not like the Pro Bowl game.
Do you think TGL is
no tug
games?
Of war.
Yes.
I feel like it is.
I feel like Liv is Pro Bowl. Who cares? They got guaranteed contracts. They
John
just
admit
like
it.
They're just out there just playing for fun.
John,
in some shorts.
It's not.
It's the Pro Bowl games.
It's not the
it
Pro
is.
Bowl games.
That's a good
games.
Call, Dale.
No, no. It's not. It's there's no tug of war.
All right, we're gonna see closest to, if anyone gets it into the trash can on this par three, that's worth 12 points.
No, it's nothing like
if
it.
If you get it into this golf, bucket, it's a 14-pointer.
Real golf played at the highest level, except that one team has no.
Like you want to pretend like this isn't some old man version of putt putt, that's fine. If that's the fantasy you want to go with, I'll allow it. But we all see what's out there. We know what's going on out here, right? Right. We if just turn off the lights and make everything glow in the dark. You might as well do that too. Let's go. Let's go full in. We don't take our sport seriously anymore.
You two don't know nothing.
Come
about
on.
Sports. You got nothing. You know nothing about the Cabo Cup. You know nothing about TGL.
The only difference between
we're forced into the Cabo Cup every year.
Yeah. The only difference between TGL and me working the golf course at Main Event was no one's ever dumped on the hole like they did at Main Event.
Listen, this—it's not,
it's
not your carny, okay?
It's the only difference.
That's not your carny.
I know, because no one, as of yet, has dumped in a hole.
No,
yeah, by the way,
dumped in
true
a hole.
Shooting percentage for Sharp, 67.8%.
Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Is Sampson going to kick him? Is Coach Sampson going to kick him off the
he
team?
He must not be defending.
Is he going to throw him off the team? This is not the type of player I want.
This is not how we do it around here.
He's getting 26 minutes a game out of 40. Now they're playing some lesser opponents too. So,
well, they're in conference now.
Conference play now.
Yeah. I'm just saying in terms of.
Yeah, right.
The percentage, you know, some of the.
Yeah,
I would think he's going to be closer.
I
would say I would think he's going to be closer to 29 minutes a game instead of 26. They'll go up by another three or so. Because Kelvin does rotate in a lot. Maybe as we get tighter, 31 minutes a game.
Yeah, probably. He shortens it up too at the end. When it comes nut cutting time, he shortens it up. But you got to have that kid in the game. He's shooting that way. He's just incredible. Who's on the – somebody called Indo?
Oh, it's Gilbert.
Oh, Gilbert's on the line?
Yeah.
We haven't talked to Gilbert in –
since what, Monday?
We still
no,
got that.
We, okay. No, we need to talk to him.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right. We talked to him on Monday.
Well, but he's got a bet for you.
Here comes a threat.
He's got a bet for you.
He wants it.
Jennifer Reyna.
No. We're not. We already said we're not doing that, remember?
We have to ask.
Remember that we had to talk about that?
He's got a Jennifer Reyna bet for you.
No, we don't get to just shovel women into his.
Nicole.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did agree to.
Nicole.
I did agree to my wife.
Gilbert.
I didn't tell her yet, by the way.
But you didn't tell her. Yeah. You're going to get your steak.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Gilbert?
You get
no,
your
not
steak?
Yet.
You didn't get it yet? Okay. Well, Reagan, let's go.
No,
get a move
yet.
On.
Yeah, better give me a steak anyway.
Yeah,
better. He said better get me a steak
better
anyway.
Get me a
or
steak
what's going to happen?
Or Texans might lose.
Well, let him say it.
Oh.
Or what's going to happen if you don't get a steak?
You're going to lose.
Will the score be?
He will bring me a steak.
Yeah, who's going to bring him a steak?
Hostage Del? Situation.
I know. Who's going to bring him a steak? You know what?
Gilbert
713. No, right now, put your name on it. We're not going to do this behind the scenes where we're scrambling to get a steak at the last second. 713, because this is kind of an important thing. 713-780-3776.
You want to win, beat the Chiefs or not?
If you want to beat the Chiefs or at least have a chance, 713-780-3776. Put your name on it. I don't even care if it's a business and you want to say, my business, Jerry's Pool Service. That's fine.
That's
we
fine.
Don't care. Just go get him a steak, corn on the cob, french fries, salt and pepper, Dr. Pepper.
Dr.
Medium
pepper.
Rare on the steak.
I think medium.
I think I got it medium, but Gilbert told us medium rare.
I know, but I don't think. That's red, Gilbert. You want it pink, right?
No, medium rare is not anymore.
Right, that's right.
You know, that's right.
John, you just want to say what you're saying.
I know. Just let him. Just
he did that last time
know,
when Gilbert
just,
was on.
I know.
I was like, what? Oh, okay.
Just really keep him out of this.
It's too late. I can't keep him out
just
of it.
Just keep John out of this.
You
okay,
hey,
so Gilbert.
You want a pink, right?
Hold on.
Gilbert. He wants his meat pink.
Gilbert.
That's all.
Dell, you stay out of it, too. You know what you're doing also.
No, I'm not. I'm just repeating what he did the last
time.
When I brought him the steak, it was pink.
Yeah, okay? I got a medium.
Yeah.
I got a medium. Yeah. I just took a guess. I'm like, he could be medium well. I didn't know. So I was actually surprised when he said medium rare. Okay, Gilbert, we gave out our phone number, and so far nobody is calling to give you a steak. Do you want to maybe give people some encouragement to give you your steak?
Where are we at, the Tiger or Jim? I mean,
Tiger?
John.
Oh, John.
So
what
that's
about
Mega
John?
Blast. Well, we can't count on him to do every. And he didn't bring you steak. He brought you egg rolls, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Tiger can't do it every time. We can't have, like, this isn't his other job to bring you your steak.
No, he said, you know what?
I'm going to do it one more time. And if you don't call in and put your name on this,
right.
A lot of you have said you're going to help on Twitter and like, I want to do this too. I want to help.
And listen, how much entertainment has Gilbert given you over the years?
I'm just saying.
How about payback?
Emotionally blackmail you
either,
everyone.
You either call in right now.
Yeah, it got to be. It's Gilbert. We got to blackmail
in
people.
The arms of an
he's
angel.
Not a. He's not.
He's not a dog without an eye.
He's no.
All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
It's either that or the kids in underdeveloped
with
countries.
The cleft palates.
And the flies
away.
Yeah, that's the music you're doing.
I know.
He's not that.
I know he's not.
Or
but
the
he's
cat
doing that
has
music.
Three legs and is hopping around like this. That's what it is. But I'm just telling you, we have no phone calls. And I'm just going to let Gilbert have the Texans lose.
Oh, here we go.
713-780-3776.
Because listen, if you've
bring
ever
bring them on now. Just
if
bring
you've
them
ever
on.
Gone to eat at Sharpview, it's not good.
No, if you've ever had reservations there, the service is terrible and the food sucks. If you've ever had reservations,
and then there's the smell
at Sharpview. Okay, who is this on line one? Who is this? Hey, it's John Lynch.
Julian.
Who is this?
Julian.
Hey,
Julian. So what are you calling about specifically?
So I got money and I'm superstitious, so I might as well hook Gilbert up and get this.
Thank you.
Now I need to know: are you going to buy exactly what he wants from Chili's, his specific order, and are you going to bring it to him at Sharpview Rehab Center?
I ain't bringing it. I'm going to DoorDash, and I don't want to get hooked into that.
Oh yeah, he could DoorDash.
Yeah, I'm not going in there to have to clean up after
all right,
Gilbert.
You get, okay, you send it to Gilbert Liu at Sharpview. Yeah, that's perfect. That's
Gilbert,
great.
What room number are you in?
What room number, Gilbert?
Hello?
Yeah, what room are you in? What room number?
133.
Okay, so Julian. It's 133 Gilbert Liu.
Sharpview.
Gilbert, is it L-U or L-I-U?
L-O-U.
L-O-U.
Oh, Gilbert Liu.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Gilbert L-O-U. I didn't think that was an Asian.
I did. I know. Yeah,
L-O-U?
L-O-U, yeah.
I've never seen that ever.
I know, right? But they might have changed it so that people wouldn't think they were
Well,
Asian.
Can you bring it, Lance?
I got to write prospects.
He's bringing Nicole.
I got to write
He's bringing Nicole.
No, if they win. If they win, Nicole's coming, and she'll bring you some cookies or something. Nah, I shouldn't have said that.
What about me? I'm going to be in Los Angeles, Gilbert.
Cabo, I thought.
Well, then
oh, today?
Yeah, I'm leaving for Cabo today, and then when I get back, I head right back to L.A., Gilbert, but I would love to.
I have to have Travis Hunter written up
Julian
by Friday.
That's going to bring
Julian's
it for
got you.
You. And now we got a full board of people that want to do it. They see Good Samaritans.
Yeah, well, so is this the Sharpview up in Sharpstown?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in
Sharpstown. It's near there, yeah.
It's near Sharpstown, right.
Yeah.
Sharpview, yeah.
Gilbert, what kind of steak are we getting here? We got like filet, we got ribeye. What are we doing?
I want steak, regular steak.
Regular.
I think it's a strip.
Yeah. Ribeye or strip. You'll have to look on the Chili's menu.
I wouldn't do ribeye, do strip.
The sirloin strip.
Yeah, the sirloin strip.
Sirloin strip.
Yeah, that's it.
Keep going, Gilbert. We'll stay. Okay. Just keep
going.
What
else do you want with it, Gilbert?
Hello?
Yeah, what else do you want with the steak?
French fries.
What else?
And a garlic bread.
Oh,
that's an addition.
We've added
What about corn on the cob?
Yeah, corn on the cob.
Yeah.
And Diet Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is.
No, no, no. Did you have Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper? I think it's just Dr. Pepper.
I think
regular Dr.
Diet.
Pepper.
He wants regular.
Regular. I think
you want the loss? I don't care what he wants.
Right.
I don't care what you think he needs. No. I care what he wants.
Dr. Pepper.
Okay, so
Julian,
this is what he wants. He wants a sirloin strip, just whatever you get. Medium, rare, right, Gilbert?
Well done.
No, not well done.
Wait. Yesterday.
No, medium.
Medium.
Not well done, right?
Not well
done.
Medium.
Okay. Medium with French fries, corn on the cob, and a Dr.
Pepper.
And
garlic bread.
Dr. Pepper and a garlic bread.
We didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that was a new one. Thankfully, no desserts have been.
All right, damn well.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Are you good with that, Julian? Are we okay with that?
Oh, yeah. We got this. I want the Texans to win.
Okay,
good.
All
right. Thank you,
Julian. So when is that when is it going to come? So we don't get calls every day?
Today, right?
So I'm going to do this maybe around lunchtime. What time do you eat lunch, Gilbert? I don't think they're going to get us a steak at 9:45 in the morning.
No.
No.
Gilbert?
What time?
Yeah.
What time?
What time about 12:30?
12:30. Yeah, sounds
okay,
about right.
Okay, good.
Got it.
Okay, DoorDash is coming. Julian is doing everything he can for this city. That's and so kind of are you,
American.
Except you're also holding us hostage.
Julian, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, then.
All right, then. All right, we got that done. We got to win.
Jesus Christ. It's like a war every week trying to get Gilbert fed so we don't have something terrible happen in our city. Astros going to lose anyway. No. Get him a hat. Yeah, I see Rockets losing in game 7 anyway. Give him a steak or some type of bring him egg rolls.
All right. But we did find out his powers aren't nearly as he may be losing powers in there. His powers, so.
Well, if they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, if they beat the Chiefs now.
Pat Mahomes has never lost a division round.
Nope.
If they beat the Chiefs.
And he's thrown for 300.
Just go ahead.
Average of 300 plus yards per game.
Every game? Or he's averaging 300?
Average at 300 plus, yeah.
300. Never lost a divisional round.
Never thrown a pick.
Never thrown a pick. It's easy. Easy pickings. We got this.
It's a real test.
We got a steak. We got a steak and corn on the cob coming with garlic bread.
We got a Chili's terrorist that we all know.
We really do.
We really do. Holding the whole city hostage.
Yeah. Well.
Chili's.
I better get my steak.
Chili's.
Better get it.
Make that steak good, Chili's. Let's go.
I don't know if the quality of it matters so much as long as it's delivered.
It's steak. It's delicious.
As long as it's delivered, I think that's the line that has to be reached.
That's it. All right, 12:30. Good. Yeah, thank you, Julian. Thank you for your service. You're a great American.
Good luck, man. You think you're going to get out of there without being asked to, like, sweep up or something? Good luck.
No.
I don't want to get roped into that, is what he said.
Booking it
because he's heard us talk enough.
DoorDash it. I ain't bringing no food there. Houston Powder Coaters, they pick up and deliver. I don't know if they'll deliver food to Gilbert, but I do know that they'll pick up and deliver your patio furniture absolutely free. It's what Houston Powder Coaters does. Robin is awesome. She says this. Send me a text, a pictures of your patio furniture, or email them to her. And she'll tell you whether or not you can save them, okay? You've got patio furniture if you've had this patio furniture for a while, that patio furniture is better than anything you're going to get today. So it's worth saving, okay? And by the way, patio furniture, pretty expensive. So here's the deal. You want to save your patio furniture, good. You want to save your car parts, good. You want to save your boat parts, good. Anything that's metal, they can save. And they can make it look brand new again. They have thousands of color combinations that you can choose from. It's just easy. It's just so they're so good at this. They've been doing it. Now's the time too to send it to them before the spring gets here and you want to be outside using that patio furniture. Those of you HOAs that got pools and you need to send the lawn chairs out there and the chairs you have out by your pool. Send them now so they'll be ready for when people want to go swimming again. It's all at HoustonPowderCoaters.com. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
A woman in Hamilton, Ohio ordered chicken fries from Burger King, and she says it came with a side of marijuana.
Why is she snitching?
Maybe she didn't want the marijuana. Maybe that's not what she ordered.
Why don't you give it to your cousin?
Well, maybe she doesn't have any cousins that smoke weed.
Bro, maybe she had that. Maybe she ordered that, bro.
What I think probably happened is that since no one
she
ever...
She ordered food. Have you watched
since
Top
Since no
Boy?
One ever orders chicken fries, that the guy thought, well, this is the one where I got the weed in it.
Have you watched Top Boy?
I have.
What do they call drugs? Food. They call it food.
Oh, yeah, they do.
We need food, bro. Maybe she went there and she ordered food and she got food.
They'll say we're starving right now.
Yeah.
Starving, that means they don't. The drugs aren't available.
They don't have any drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're
starving.
They
got no food, bruv.
No food, bruv. I got no food, bruv.
I got no food, bruv.
Like,
keep walking. I got no food for
you, lower level dealers on the street, like the junkies and, you know, regular drug buyers will come up. And I got no food, bruv. Get out of here. I got no food, bruv.
Move on. I got no food, bruv. Yeah. We're starving. We just
need
a
little
taste.
Show,
yeah.
It's The Wire in London.
Yeah. I like that. Dubai chocolate must come.
You're going to have to keep your closed caption on, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You must.
Absolutely. I do that and with when they're in American
Jamaica,
programs.
When they're in Jamaica, it's hard. It's tough. Yeah.
Dubai chocolate must come from Dubai, a German court rules. Do you feel like Dubai chocolate has to come from Dubai?
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Well, I would think, right?
Right. I would think so. That there's a new bill in Illinois that increases the age for Illinois seniors to take the driving exam. The new proposal would push the age to 87. Do you feel like it should be a little younger than that? I mean, honestly, 87, I'm not sure I want a lot of 87-year-olds.
Here's what I hate. When people are like honking at old people for going slow, what are you doing? Keep it slow.
Right.
I don't want them speeding up.
They need to go slow.
Yeah.
They
put a regulator on the car.
I don't know. It just seems like that's a little old. We need to lower that age. A restaurant is charging $120 to add pineapple to the pizza.
I saw that because they hate pineapple on pizza, so they're trying to keep you from doing it.
You know what? I think that's a good.
And you know who's going
to
do it?
Way to go about it.
Influencers, so they can be. I just bought $100. Let's find out if this $125 pizza is worth it.
It's a win-win for the restaurant. It's a win-win. And nobody puts pineapple on a pizza, or we get $120.
And you know what?
It.
Whether you like it or not, if an influencer's there doing a, you're going to have a bunch of business.
That's right. A lot of business. A skateboarding economist suggests that we need more skate parks and less capitalism.
Wait, what did you call them?
A skateboarding economist.
What does that mean?
He's an economist, but he also skateboards.
He does both.
He does both. Both.
A skateboarding economist said what? I don't feel like we could listen to him.
Yeah. Less capitalism, more skateboard parks. Do you agree or disagree?
How are you going to build those parks? I guess through public funding?
That's right.
Obviously, it's parks. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's written a book.
I'm not reading it.
Oh, no. There was a book written in 1905, the German economist, The Protestant Work Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism. Get capitalism out of our country. Do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to disagree with the idea of capitalism out, skate parks in. I don't really think it's going to do anything,
you
sir.
Feel like we should have more like capitalism and less skate parks.
I just feel like, I think we've got a fair amount of capitalism as it.
We've
got
skate
a
park.
Heavy amount of greed. But I think.
Where are you on the skate park thing?
See, I'm not a skater, but he is, and it's in his name, skateboarding economist. I don't think I can take his economic theories seriously.
Just because he's skateboarding.
Well, I think if you put it in your, I'm a skateboard economist, I don't. Okay, well, what's the number one thing you think we should do? Well, it involves skate parks. Like, okay, that's what I figured. I'm not listening to you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we need more skateboard parks. You don't know.
Have you
counted how many we have? You don't know.
There's one off of Rice, and that's it. I'm not counting anymore.
That's it.
South Rice, and that's it.
That's the only one you want. We'll see. You'll never be a skateboard economist. Never.
No, are God you, willing.
Are you on the verge of becoming a disc golf economist?
A what?
No.
A disc golf economist?
No, we do need more parks, though. We should take over golf courses that aren't doing well. We need to take over those.
Yeah.
Because we could put multiple.
Golf courses?
Yeah, we could put multiple.
What golf course isn't doing well?
We could put
it's
multiple.
A boom ever since COVID?
No.
It's been ridiculous.
We need to take over some
of
these.
Everybody
well, you guys
golf.
Keep doing your thing where it's like the Japanese game show called TGL, and we'll see how long golf lasts. Y'all are trying to kill it. Well, Tiger's trying to kill
you
golf.
You know what's going to bring it back this week? Cabo Cup. Cabo Cup brings it back.
What?
Yeah, Cabo Cup's bringing it back. That's right.
If you don't know what that is, I wish I was like you and didn't know what it is. But John's going to be doing the show from Cabo because he's got golf to play with his friends.
Yes.
The Cabo Cup.
The
They've
Cabo
given it
Cup.
A name. I guess you have a trophy.
Yes,
the
we
winners.
Have a trophy. Yes. Yes.
Is it match play?
It's the biggest what event in golf.
Is it a team event? Or?
It's a team event.
Okay.
8-on-8. Let's go.
So you get 16 guys who pretty much are done working with, that had nothing to do, and they go down the Cabo. Like, they're done. They've accomplished all they want to accomplish in their lives.
In their lives, that's
so
it.
So they got time to
no,
head on out.
Everybody's work. Everybody still works. They take time off. If except me. I continue to work.
If you're an
that's
example,
the work ethic I have.
If you're an example of the work they're doing, they can't be doing much of it.
Yeah, no, we're crazy workers. And you know who else is? Jim Fiume. He's not in the Cabo Cup, but he's been to Cabo. I know that. Jim Fiume is a great human being, great American as well. Jim Fiume is a guy who started this business close to 40 years ago. And he is incredible. Incredible. Yeah, he was orphaned as a kid. And look at him. And look at him now and what he made of himself. Okay? That's a great story. That's a great story. And here's the deal is Jim Fiume has the best windows in the history of windows. That's all. And I'm saying it. I can say what I say. All right? The best windows in the history of windows, best doors in the history of doors. And if you're looking to replace your windows or your doors, there's one place that you have to go, and that's see my friend Jim Fiume over at Gulf Coast Windows. 713-849-5454. You're going to get the best window in the market. You're going to get the best insulation in the market. You're going to get the best warranty. You're going to get how do I know this? Because Jim Fiume's won the Pinnacle Award from the Better Business Bureau. So that'll tell you something about the way he does business. Jim Fiume, tell him you heard it right here. GulfCoastWindows.com. That's GulfCoastWindows.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Bye, babe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.